don't have no mercy in this land. In this land, yeah. Come to your house, you know he don't.
Anyway, we were talking about Lee Oswald and his famous Minox camera and the fuzzed edges of the photographs. This was found in the garage of Ruth and Michael Payne.
Two very interesting people.
Fascinating. As you just pointed out when we were off air, Michael Payne is one of the Boston Brahmin Paynes.
Michael Payne's family comes from the northeastern, because they ended up in Texas, nobody really followed the trail. Michael Payne's family comes from Massachusetts, okay? And his family interfaced with, if you can believe it or not, the Cabots and the Lodges,
mm-hmm.
you know, up in Massachusetts. He had a trust fund that was not found out about for a couple years after the assassination, in his name for, in 1964, $300,000, which, of course, like we said earlier, when you count inflation, it's a $1 million trust fund, all right? And he also worked at Bell Helicopter at the time. And now, imagine this scenario. You're working at Bell Helicopter for the government, you know, doing these classified projects, all right? And you just happen to have a communist coming over to your house every weekend to visit his wife. Nobody ever asked him one single question about this wacky guy who's coming over to his house on weekend. Have you talked to him, Michael, about any of your work? You know, you would think that, you know, that question, you know, would pop up. Apparently, it did not, and he was allowed to meet. Now, I should say one thing about Michael and Ruth Payne. Oswald comes back from Russia in the latter part of 1962, okay? This is precisely the time that Ruth and Michael become, as the word is, estranged. They become separated.
Right.
All right. After the assassination, they reconcile.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, after Michael moves out, of course, it becomes very convenient for Ruth to befriend Marina, which she spends a lot of time doing, and then actually have her move in with her prior to the actual assassination, because Michael's not there. There's more room for her to be your friend, for them to be, you know, girlfriends, et cetera, for Ruth to be so charming and hospitable to Marina, okay, as she always was.
And keeping in mind, of course, that Marina speaks virtually no English at
Correct.
This time,
yeah.
Ruth Payne uses an excuse that she is practicing her Russian because she has been learning Russian as part of a Quaker program
right.
that she belongs to
mm-hmm.
in Dallas at the time.
Correct. All right.
And so here they are. Another thing, just to make the mix a little more confused, Bell Helicopter at the time was teetering on the verge of bankruptcy. They hadn't had a really good aircraft design in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Bell Helicopter has enormous ties to First Bank of Boston. First Bank of Boston buys Bell Helicopter, Johnson declares war in mm-hmm. South Vietnam, and suddenly Bell Helicopter is getting orders by the ton
right.
for helicopters
Correct.
From the government.
Right.
And, of course, as we all know, Bell is still not only in existence, but making money hand over fist today.
Right. Now, another thing I should add, you mentioned the helicopter thing. Michael Payne's father was very interested in aviation and aircraft, and this is where, of course, Michael gets his inspiration. Well, Michael Payne's father and his wife were friends of a woman named Marie Bancroft. Marie Bancroft was one of the girlfriends, quite a close girlfriend, of Allen Dulles. So the idea that Ruth and Michael are just these very nice Quaker people who are just friendly to everybody, you know, and take in this poor, forlorn Marina out of the goodness and sweetness of their hearts with absolutely no ulterior motive, okay, is to say the least, a picture that does not really register the real depth of reality that's going on in this kind of odd situation.
And, of course, Alan Dulles was the DCI, Director of Central Intelligence, from 1950 until the Bay of Pigs.
Right after
essentially
the Bay of Pigs,
in 1961.
Where he was fired by JFK in 1962.
Alan Dulles was also the brother of John Foster Dulles, the man. Both of these people worked for a company called Sullivan and Sullivan.
Sullivan and Cromwell.
Sullivan and Cromwell, precisely. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Which is maybe the most politically influential law firm in the country. They originally studied with Woodrow Wilson,
right,
and were part of his team of the Treaty of Versailles.
The Dulles brothers basically forged post-war American foreign policy.
Absolutely.
Both through the State Department, the overt side, and through the CIA, the covert side, right? And the influence that these two guys had on the map of American foreign policy when America basically takes over for England as a leader of the free world during and after World War II, you can't really exaggerate it, because as people have said, you know, Alan Dulles basically founded the Central Intelligence Agency.
Mm-hmm.
It bears all of his earmarks, you know, in the as Fletcher Prouty has said, you know, the Central Intelligence Agency is a misnomer because under Alan Dulles, the covert side of the Central Intelligence Agency outfunded the overt side of the covert intelligence agency 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the influence of these guys on American foreign policy is absolutely tremendous. And here you have this connection between the Paines and this girlfriend of Alan Dulles. And then you have these other mysterious things that Ruth and Michael Paine are doing with the Oswalds. And then, of course, it's basically, if you look at the Warren Commission, by far, the two witnesses who were interviewed the longest in front of the Warren Commission are Ruth and Michael Paine. All right? Give you another example. There's a mark on Ruth Paine's calendar for October the 22nd. It has a star on it or something like that. And on the top of the calendar, the star says something like, Oswald purchase rifle. Okay? So they asked her, October the 22nd? Why October the 22nd? I mean, he didn't actually really order the rifle and much earlier in March. And the assassination itself did not occur till exactly a month later. So why did you mark it? Oh, she said, I made a mistake. I actually meant November 22nd. And the most important date in probably the history of the Republic that you're going to see, and you missed it by a month?
Well,
you know,
we could do an entire program just on the number of people who don't know what they were doing or where they were on November 22nd,
right.
63.
But more importantly, the information about the rifle did not come out until at least a day later, even after the Kennedy assassination. So the idea that she made this mark, then had to say, let's be a little bit obfuscatory about it, you know, is very interesting. Of course, as Ruth and Michael Paine are very interesting, because Ruth basically becomes one of the chief witnesses against Oswald after the assassination.
And becomes the official spokesperson for Marina for quite a while, until Marina finally had enough of her.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which seems to have been the case.
Right. Now, she is also the person who surfaces the so-called letter from Oswald to the Cuban consulate down there. She supposedly finds this letter that Oswald had written to the Cuban consulate after the assassination. Now, when you add in all the things we just talked about the very highly specious nature, about Oswald's trip to Mexico City and all the funny things that went down there, that she should finally surface this thing, okay, this note that he wrote about being in Mexico City, again, is very, very, very suspicious.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. She's been a wealth of information that she shouldn't have really
right.
had access to ever since.
Mm-hmm.
This is fascinating. I would like to again mention the book is entitled The Assassinations, Probe Magazine on JFK, MLK, RFK, and Malcolm X. It's published by Feral House. For those of you who are interested and can't find this in your local bookstore, you can log on to the web at www.feralhouse.com. And there's another web notation here, info@feralhouse.com,
right.
which I gather is probably their online catalog. You can also write to them at Post Office Box 13067, Los Angeles, California, 90013, and ask about the assassinations.
You can go ahead to Farrell House. It's in a lot of bookstores now.
Good.
Okay, because
good.
Of all this stuff coming out about JFK. And there's you can actually, we have our own website, Sitka, C-T-K-A, and you can actually order it through Sitka. You put Sitka into Yahoo.
Okay? Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And see, I might plug some of the stuff I'm doing for the book.
Please do.
Okay. I might be on C-SPAN, too, on,
excellent.
Book, on Book TV,
mm-hmm.
Okay, probably next month. Okay, and I'm doing a lot of radio shows, etc., you know, throughout in the next week or so. And you know, and I would really like to say one last thing about the book, which, as your listeners can probably figure out, I'm quite proud of. You know, there's other books being published about this subject, because every time there's an anniversary.
Of course.
You know, like on cue, 16 new authors come out with their new twist on the Kennedy assassination. Okay, this book is not a silver bullet. It's not a magic elixir that solves this great mystery, you know, once and forever. All it is the very best information that you can count on, that you can rely on, that will stand the test of time, okay?
And
we
points,
leave it up
it
to the reader.
It points you in directions,
right,
valuable
exactly.
directions, because
right.
that's one of the problems with a lot that comes out. A lot of people make exaggerated claims.
Right.
And this, of course, has led to the ability of particularly the right wing in this country to just,
ridicule,
oh, ha-ha-ha,
yeah.
grassy knoll, aha, another
right.
conspiracy
just ridicule
theories.
It. You know, we've had so many supposed confessed assassins in this
mm-hmm.
in this case that you can line them up and not fit them on one stage.
They wouldn't even take me seriously if I confessed, I'll tell you. I don't understand. I really do. I think sometime in the not-too-distant future, we're going to have to get together again and do even more.
My pleasure, Paul.
We've really only scratched the surface.
Yeah, you know, it's sad to say it, and we really have literally just scratched the surface of what's in the book.
Well, that's one of the drawbacks with media. I am Bob Young, and I have been joined and am proud to have had the opportunity to talk again to James DiEugenio about the assassinations, Probe Magazine on JFK, MLK, RFK, and Malcolm X. And is there anything you'd like to toss in to finish up?
There's a fascinating chapter in the book on the media that I just had to put in there. It's called The Failure of the Fourth Estate. And that's, in my opinion, one of the most important chapters in the whole book. And if you do have me on again, I hope we can actually start with that chapter.
That sounds like a good idea. I think we will do that. Jim, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
And I hope the book is as successful as it is.